720 WGN. Hope you were able to take in the mayor's press conference, lengthy press conference that we were able to carry for you right here on 720 WGN. The mayor covering a lot of ground. I didn't know, I had forgotten just right at the start that the mayor went to the University of Michigan as she was
ripping on Michigan State a little bit.
She took a shot at Michigan right. State because apparently Anthony Williams, one of our pride and joys of Chicago, is going to be the starting running back at Michigan State. She jumped right in there, Bertrand. That was, you know.
I kind of like that about her.
She's the feisty mayor. What was your biggest takeaway from the last hour, Steve?
Well, it's interesting, and Ryan Burrow pointed it out, too. We've seen in the last few days where the mayor is directly addressing not we're going to arrest you and throw you in prison, but appealing to their better angels, if you will, in some ways, you know, appealing to your humanity or the community to help find these people and bring them along. Not that they didn't also talk about the fact that there will be extra police out there, but I think that was one thing. And the other was, and take it seriously, I think, you know, she says that she will shut down the bars and restaurants again if we see a spike. And, you know, she can hold firm. I mean, there's no one jumping in the lake just yet, so I wouldn't put it past her.
Now, those were my two highlights as well. She was incredibly firm. Hey, if you don't follow the rules, if you've got people standing around in your bar and or restaurant, if I continue to hear that there are a lot of people frequenting your establishment and
right,
it's going on
right.
all over the city, I'm going to step in, and it's to your better, it's to your benefit to take care of your own house. And I would not mess with the mayor on that one. I think that was legit.
So I think you better hit the bars tonight, I think was the message there.
Well, I do Sports Central on Saturday nights, right? And then afterwards, I normally walk home or ride my bike home. I live about a mile and a half from WGN, so I'm walking. I go through Streeterville, River North, and Hubbard Street, and at least last Saturday night they were out. I mean, people were having a good time.
Like, yeah, that's what I heard.
So right, if you're an establishment, you've got to protect yourself. And then I get it, like, you want to make as much money as possible, and you also don't want to be the person that's denying people coming in. These are not easy things to completely have a strong line and this is how we're going to do it. But I mean, as best you can, I think you got to follow the rules here so we can all benefit and the businesses can make as much money as possible. I know it's not anywhere close to what they would normally make, but you want some is better than none, right? So I guess that's where we're at here. And as far as, trying to make the city a better and safer place, I mean, it's just painful. One-year-old shot, three-year-old, 10-year-old, 13-year-old, three more fatalities late Sunday, early Monday, 17 people were killed over last weekend. The one-year-old boy, he's hidden while riding in a car, Sincere Gaston. I mean, come on, man. Can we be better? And, none of this is new. But it was interesting to hear her talk about, hey, look, before you go out and pick up a gun, can you think about, can you get a level of humanity? And then it's also like, well, what can the city do to make the neighborhood safer, make the neighborhoods better, give more opportunity? But she's also asking people to look in the mirror, and I would hope that's going on. But obviously, skeptical that that message is being heard. 312-981-7200 is the phone number. She also, of course, we're not having any fireworks displays in the Chicago area over the weekend because we're worried about gatherings. And the mayor was very specific in saying that that's disappointing. She would love to have those gatherings, but we're not going to do it. And then I got super scared when she mentioned the lakefront because it's hot out there. I'd like to go swimming. And then she's underlining, hey, we got undertows. And then I'm remembering that I'm a terrible swimmer and the dangers of jumping in there. So, there's no lifeguards. And I do see people when I'm driving down Lakeshore Drive and I'm looking out at our beautiful lakefront, I do see people jumping on in. And taking that risk, which, hey, you're just going swimming. I think you're going to be all right. But if you're not equipped to do it, it is a worthwhile reminder to put out there that that lake is dangerous. Bad things happen all the time. So as pretty and as beautiful it looks like, you best be careful on the 4th of July weekend or really at any time. So, take caution. And she was also pointing out, beware of where your children are at. especially around the lake, right? I mean, I think an adult around the lake, you feel pretty comfortable. But when you got kids out there who are more susceptible and maybe can't swim as well, it's an important reminder to parents. 312-981-7200. If you want to jump on in here, any reactions to the mayor's press conference, feel free. There's some crazy stuff going on, too, when you look around, well, specifically down south to Alabama, which this story making huge news today, that college students are organizing COVID-19 parties as a contest to see who would get the virus first. Tuscaloosa City Councilor Sonia McKinstry said students hosted parties to intentionally infect each other with the new coronavirus. The party organizers purposely invited guests who tested positive for COVID-19. She said the students put money in a pot and whoever got COVID first would get the cash. So we're creating a pot of money and we're inviting people who have tested positive, and now that sort of doesn't even seem real. Right? Did that actually happen? And how was that determined? And you were running to the testing center, and then 48 hours later, you find out that you're positive, and I get the, I don't know, $200 that's in the pot?
It's like one of those old chicken pox parties, right? Used to have where, well, you'd want your kids to get chicken pox so that they wouldn't have them in the future, right? Like, you just get it out of the way. But we don't know that that's how this works yet. We don't know that it doesn't come back or what the long-term effects are.
And we don't know that everyone was at those parties, were going out and getting tested, and then isn't going to grandma's house, right? Or a restaurant who's now picking up, Taco Bell, and is standing next to Ryan Burrow, who just picked it up because you got breathed on, and then you went to grandma's house. I mean, is this really going on? But apparently it's going on because it's in literally 17 different news reports on it. And so, okay, that's what they're doing at the University of Alabama. It did make me think about, you know, what did I do when I was really young, or not even that young, when I was college age, that was really incredibly stupid? And I can see by the reactions of our producers that, yeah, there is a long list of things that I did at 18, 19, 20, 21 that I regret and would not do now as I'm a little bit older, or a lot older. Or if you're 5 years older, maybe that's hitting home with you. 312-981-7200. By the way, audience's participation is encouraged on that one. What did you do when you were young, or somewhat young, that you look in the mirror now and say, you know what, I am really lucky that I survived my own stupidity, and I'm really lucky that I didn't injure anybody else? Or maybe I did, even worse. I mean, how would you feel if you're the kid that's going to the COVID-19 party, you play this game, you win, and then, oh, by the way, my grandma passed away 3 months later. I was hanging out with my brother, who then went over to my grandma's house, and he didn't know, and whatever the chronology of the events would be that would turn into that. Like, that would be, I would think, absolutely positively atrocious, right? But that's what's going on here. 312-981-7200. 218-720. WGN, Mark Carmen and Brianna today. Pete McMurray coming up at 3. Chicago Cub Jose Quintana is having trouble doing the dishes. Injured his finger. Out 2 weeks, maybe longer. We'll get to that in a second here. Mark, you're waiting patiently. 312-981-7200 with reaction to the mayor's press conference on the Team Hochberg phone line. Mark, welcome to WGN. Go ahead.
Hey, how you doing?
Good, Mark. How are you?
Good. I was just wondering how you feel on the mayor being so stern with the business owners and the patrons, you know, with the social distancing and everything, and saying that even though before on a lakefront that, you know, she would put them in jail, arrest them. But she's not that stern with the shootings downtown and the people that are picking up the guns. She's asking them not to pick up the gun. Tell them to think twice. Yeah. How do you feel about that?
Okay, Mark, and I appreciate the question. Look, there's a lot on the mayor's plate, right? When she's being difficult or quote unquote, as I think you said it, tough on the businesses, she's trying to protect the people of this city, right? I mean, that's what she's trying to do. It's not, I don't think she's trying to be quote unquote, you know, take business away. That's not beneficial to business owners. It's not beneficial to the city, which has money coming in from taxes and all that, right? So there's that part of it. Now, look, they have an additional 1,200 police officers on the street this weekend. I think what she's appealing to, Mark, is you're not going to be able to arrest your way through this. The Chicago superintendent was saying that too. So,
arrest her way through the coronavirus?
No, arrest.
No, of course not.
Arrest her way through. You're talking on the gun violence side. So she's making an appeal. She's trying to make an appeal to young people. I mean, what do you want? What exactly do you want her to say?
Well, she should be saying the same thing to them that she's saying to the business owner.
I think it's okay. How exactly?
You're asking them not to commit violence. You're asking them. You're not telling them.
Her say something along the lines of we will find every single one of you and you know, would that feel better to you?
I would at least say we would try to find every one of you and put you in jail.
Right, right.
Yeah.
Right. Okay.
That's just my feeling. You know, it just seems like she's a little bit more lenient to them than she is to the business owner.
Are you a business owner, Mark?
No, I'm a truck driver.
Okay. So you want to be able to go to these businesses? Is that part of it?
Well, exactly. Okay. Yeah, we all do. Of course.
Of course. Okay. Hey, Mark, I appreciate the phone call. Thanks for jumping in, all right?
All right. You're welcome. Thank you.
All right, 312-981-7200. Look, that's just to be – no, listen, the mayor signed up to be the mayor, which is a sweet gig. You get to be the mayor. You get to have memes of yourself all over the city in the middle of a pandemic. There's a lot of benefits that come with being the mayor. But let's be real here. Anybody who sits in that seat, it's coming at you from 17 different ways. And this city that we live in has had the same problems with gun violence with Mayor Lightfoot, with Mayor Emanuel, with Mayor Daley. I mean, we're talking about a long, long time. And I'm sitting there listening to her message today saying, you know, asking people to consider it. Like, well, okay. I think that's great. I would hope that there are community leaders who are doing all of that. And I don't think it's a one-prong attack here. It's not like they're just asking, but how is the city going to move forward to make the neighborhood safer, give more opportunity to young people, have the schools be better, have more community services available that will get young men and women on the right path to benefit them, to benefit the city, to benefit everyone. It's been a huge challenge for Chicago, and it continues to be. 312-981-7200. She's in it, though. I mean, when I see her talking, I'm like, okay, the mayor means business here. I think that's pretty clear in every single one of her press conferences. Ryan, did you have any major takeaways from today?
No, I mean, sometimes you'd be like, when we were sitting here, we were ready to hear about, so, okay, what are we going to do to prevent the gun violence? And then they started with coronavirus, and it's like, oh yeah, that's going on too. I mean, it's weird how these two stories are weaving in through each other. And, you know, even in 2016, when gun violence was really bad, we weren't dealing with a pandemic at the same time. So I'm glad I'm not in her shoes, because I certainly wouldn't know, you know, which direction to be looking at any given time. I mean, you have to handle it all at once, I suppose.
Yeah, and if you look at the reports from, you know, a standard, I hate to say it like that, but a standard weekend in Chicago, 42-year-old man was shot in the Austin neighborhood, a 33-year-old man was shot in the Chatham neighborhood, 30-year-old man was shot in the Inglewood neighborhood, 25-year-old man was shot in the Lawndale neighborhood, 17-year-old boy was shot in the Humboldt Park neighborhood, in the Brighton Park neighborhood. I mean, it's just, and the list is long and painful. And then you get to the children who are given no chance in life. And it's just, you know, straight painful. But
unfortunately, it's the children that actually give this a face. That's the problem. Because, and I know as a member of the media, you know, we give you the numbers. These are the numbers. This is how many people were shot. This is how many people were killed. But until you have that inside story, they're just numbers.
Right.
Unfortunately.
Right.
And unfortunately, it takes a situation like we saw the last two weekends where children were shot, where people kind of wake up and say, wait a minute here, something's really going on wrong.
Yeah, I mean, it was the front page of the Tribune today, a story on Brandon McGee, 23 years old. He was going out for a random night, and he gets shot and killed. He's standing with a friend, people walking up on him, 23 years old. His mom's talking about this, a lengthy piece of the Tribune. The mom's talking about going to Texas. The son is encouraged. Mom, I'm going to miss you, but I really would encourage you to do that if that's what you want to do. And here was a guy that, you know, seemingly was doing a ton of good. He was working and all of it, and life taken. And it's like, oh my God. You're 23 years old. You got your whole life in front of you, and now not here, and then a family's left to pick up the pieces. It's tragedy after tragedy, and you know, I sit here on the radio. We've talked about this a zillion times. It's like you just fingers crossed that we will do better, and then we end up back in the same place so often. But there are also a million stories of good going on out there that we want to underline as well. But that was a huge part of the press conference today. 312-981-7200. I mean, the story that I'm referencing with Brandon McGee, he wanted to start a career in radio. The mom says she's going to Texas. McGee says she's thinking about moving too. And, you know, you go through the whole story. He leaves to go home. She calls when he gets home to make sure he's there. He screenshots that she's home, and that's the last time the mom talks to him. McGee and a friend shot in Logan Square near the Western Blue Line, one of 14 people killed in shootings over a weekend stretch. And then people are raising money to pay for the funeral. There was a GoFundMe, $35,000 worth of stuff. And they write, McGee was a creative and laid-back go-getter with glimpses of silliness. He dabbled in a clothing line, produced music, held tight to a notebook filled with drawings. He played basketball in high school. He was, after a senior year, he moved on from basketball. He was working at Whirly Ball before the pandemic. And then you get a comment from the Whirly Ball family. Since 2016, Brandon was part of our Whirly Ball family. To say he'll be deeply missed is an understatement. Brandon was well-respected, highly regarded, and truly woven into the fabric of our culture. McGee was there when someone needed him, his mother said. And then you're reading this like, oh my God, man. Guy had a regular job, was doing... your everyday thing. And it's also feels ridiculous that like when something like this happens, like you have to sort of like give a resume, say, hey, this was a good kid. Like it in theory, it really shouldn't matter, right? But it does. And I guess it gives context to and it puts a face to the story that I think people can relate to a little bit more, which is something that is nice.